And so Jesus' first miracle was to keep a party going. This is a God that we can relate to. And I want to propose tonight that we look at two parts of this this beautiful story in Jesus' ministry. This was the first miracle in John's gospel, the first sign. I want to look at the joy of the gospel, as Pope Francis reminds us, is at the heart of the gospel message, the joy of this gospel in particular. And I want to speak of overflowing grace. Let's do the overflowing grace first. It's a curious scene, right, where you have a very ordinary setting. Jesus and his family was invited to a wedding. I mean, it happens to all of us. What an ordinary thing to happen to Mary and Jesus and his disciples. They're invited to a wedding, and so you can, in a sense, be invited into the very ordinariness of Jesus' life. And no doubt this was a wedding festivity with Jesus' extended family, and the Jewish family being very large. Not just simply cousins, but townspeople, all kin there, celebrating this wedding. And we can all relate to that type of celebration. And then, God forbid, the wine runs out. Now, this is a big deal. It's a big deal in our time when the wine runs out, right? But it was a big deal in Jesus' time. In ancient Near Eastern culture, hospitality was vital. It was considered a duty of each person. For us often today, hospitality seems to be an add-on to the rush of our lives. But hospitality was a living virtue for the Jewish people. And so not to have wine was a great cause for distress, an insult. And Mary sees this and suggests to Jesus that now's the time. And notice how he first resists. Now's the time, Jesus. And he says, now's not the time. So he resists. And it's curious, right, that Jesus would resist at that moment. Now, eventually we know he will do something. Now's the time, Mary is saying. Do something. And Jesus resists. We can relate to that. Not when wine runs out in our times, which poses no great crisis, but when we look at a world full of violence and we say, Lord, do something. Or when we look at poverty and homelessness, do something. When we see endemic injustices or even ordinary unkindnesses, we ask Jesus to do something. And it seems that Jesus doesn't do anything. The poverty remains, the violence is there, the division remains, and Jesus, do something. Why do you resist? That's a real temptation for us. But notice, Jesus did do something at that feast in Cana, right? What did he do? Those stone jars full of 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. And a lot of wine. More than enough for everyone. More than enough to keep a party going way into the night. The wine was to the brim. The wine was overflowing. That's in the Jewish tradition of overflowing wine in the Jewish scriptures is a sign of God's abundant grace. That God is not parsimonious or meager. That God's grace overflows. And wine overflowing or tables overflowing is a symbol in the Jewish scriptures of overflowing grace. So that God's grace is never held back but is abundantly given. And the people at that wedding got literally a taste of that overflowing grace there in the form of that wine. The grace overflows, but the true miracle is not just simply what happened at Cana, but how Cana continues today, that the wine overflows from that wedding into Jesus' ministry. It flows into the Last Supper when there's more wine overflowing. That flows into Calvary where there's more wine overflowing. And it is that sacrifice of Calvary that continues today. The wine continues to overflow, and tonight you'll have an opportunity to share that wine. It continues to overflow. The grace continues to overflow. So the question is, Jesus, are you doing anything about violence and poverty and unkindness? Why aren't you doing anything? Well, look, brothers and sisters, more deeply, he is. With this sacrifice given to us, the wine continues to overflow. Cana continues, overflows into our lives. And so it's not us saying, Jesus, do something. He's saying, well, you do something. You do something. And the disciples began to believe in him. We hear at the end of the gospel. And the disciples began to believe in him. Meaning they started to do something. And so Cana continues. The wine overflows. And you and I now have an obligation to right all those wrongs that we see and name. And Jesus says, I will help you do something. But this is not simply all about proving ourselves or making discipleship hard work. Because in this divine commissioning, there is always a joy, a delight. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, God delights in Israel, his people, who had suffered long. He delights in them. He calls them my delights. Jesus' first miracle was to keep a party going. Jesus' first miracle was at a banquet. When Jesus spoke of heaven, he spoke of a banquet, of joyful occasions. Sometimes I think we make God so boring and dull. Jesus' image that he borrowed from his Jewish roots of heaven, of life with God forever, was not angels on clouds strumming harps. The medieval ages gave us those images, fine. I like Jesus' image of a heavenly banquet, where what happens? The wine and food overflow. And if there's wine and food, there's company and conversation and a table. As an Irishman, I imagine a lot of people at this table, and it's a raucous, heaven's raucous. Heaven's a little bit noisy, and everyone's got a place, and no one is misplaced. And there's food and wine enough for plenty. It's just not a coincidence that Jesus' first miracle is at a wedding banquet. He wants us to delight in one another more. He wants us to delight in the noble call we have disciples, not simply making an obstacle course to heaven, but to delight. To delight. And isn't that perhaps the sign of the grace that overflows? Not simply the deeds we do, but how we do them. With delight. With joy. I think of the end, the beautiful end of Dorothy Day's The Long Loneliness. If you haven't read it, it's worth a read. I think Francis is going to make her a saint before he's done. And I'm going to ruin the ending. It's the best part. It's her postscript reflecting on her life founding the Catholic Worker movement. And she's responding to all these great things people are saying about her. And she writes this. I found myself a barren woman, the joyful mother of children. It is not always easy to be joyful, to keep in mind the duty of delight. The most significant thing of the Catholic worker, the most significant thing is community. We are not alone anymore. But the final word is love. And love is a harsh and dreadful thing. We cannot love God unless we love each other. And to love, we must know each other. We must know him in the breaking of bread, and we must know each other in the breaking of bread. And we are not alone anymore. Heaven, she says, is a banquet. And life is a banquet, too, even with a crust where there is companionship. We have all known the long loneliness, and we have learned that the only solution is love, and that love comes with community. And so, brothers and sisters, let the final word tonight be not duty, but delight. delight we take in this overflowing banquet of grace and the delight that we take in sharing this meal with one another. And when we go out there and live what we do here, well then, indeed, there's cause for even more delighting.